The great fallacy is that football is first and last about winning. It's nothing of the kind. The game is about glory. It's about doing things in style, with a flourish, about going out and beating the other lot, not waiting for them to die of boredom. Hello and welcome to episode 5 of Same Old Wombles. Grief is the price we pay for love. But that's not going to stop us loving our football team. Same Old Wombles brought to you by some of us responsible for bringing you yellow and blue back in the day. We are non-affiliated, non-partisan, and after 40 plus years of following the Dons, we still can't agree on who to play in defence. We're the Same Old Wombles. My name is Mark Lewis, aka Tall Mark, head of programme sales, according to the recent roll call of club officials and volunteers that mysteriously appeared on the official website over the weekend. Tonight's panel includes Adam Proctor, owner of possibly the hardest job in football, making these ramblings worthy as a podcast. Niall Cooper, current Don's Trust board member, unwise enough to take on the online trolls in the AFC Women Facebook groups over the weekend. And Matt Cooper, wise enough not to be part of the AFC Women Facebook groups. Will his rewrite of a fans club have a different ending this time around? Tonight we'll discuss, does the team and the club need to get back to basics on and off the field? Could the pizza trophy actually help us? And of course, we'll have some numbers to lighten the mood. Welcome to Same Old Wombles.
All I wanna do is watch football. All I wanna do is watch football. We fell down, we fell broke, like we ain't got a hope. Like the times when you're down to 10. What can you do when they're coming at you? You gotta take it back to them.
Evening, chaps. How are we all doing?
Been better, Mark. Been better.
Nice, quiet bank holiday weekend.
I've been busy on the social media, kind of helping inform people about all the wonderful things about our glorious club and taking on some wonderful people with some interesting opinions, Mark.
It's all about interesting opinions.
Why would you do that to yourself? I don't understand. I mean, I haven't logged into any of these things, so I have no idea what is actually going on there.
Adam, there is a solution to this. I do therapy twice a week. I'm an expert in mindfulness. And, you know, that's the way to do it. It's the only way. Sometimes also you could say I'm also a complete sadomasochist. That might be the real reason. But, yeah, that's what it is. And equally, you know, sometimes you go, oh, do you know what I need? I need a bit of yin and yang in my life. And I don't know which one's the yin and which one's the yang, but one of them was definitely missing. So I thought, why not? Why not just go for it and see how my wonderful, wonderful fellow fans take to me? You know, and they're always really supportive and appreciative of my strong beliefs in what's it called? Enshrinement? Is enshrinement the word that we use? Is that a dirty word? And process. Today's podcast is obviously brought to you by the words enshrinement and process. That's what it is. That's what it's all about today. And we'll just see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, I literally had to take myself off of it. I can't be listening to it. And I think one of the issues about being fan owned is that it's such an easy target. You know, if other clubs are doing badly, I mean, actual fact, it's ownership generally. If other clubs are doing badly, no matter what league they're in, it's always the owners that get it. But because we're fan owned, I think we get it even more. And sides are allowed, you know, are allowed to, well, not allowed to, but they do badly. You know, we're not the only team in this country or in this league that are, you know, on a bad run. It's just sides do badly. We not get a right to success, and that would be the case even if we were owned by a multi-millionaire.
All right, chaps, let's jump straight back into it. This is a quote again, taken straight off Twitter, but actually from one of the more constructive side of things. This is our friend John Green, he of random nerd fighter fame. John Green's quote over the weekend was, and this is John Green writing as John Green, like, at its core, does AFC Wimbledon have a football problem or a budget problem? Can we get out of this mess with our current budget and structure? Who wants to start us off?
But Mark, I think you've missed one thing. Sorry, Adam, just one thing, Mark. What does he say at the end of the tweet? Because we're missing that tweet. No, you're missing
out. No, he does go on. Sorry, I should add. He then does go on to say, I know a few multimillionaires and billionaires. Do any of them have are any of them interested in talking to me because I've got some ideas?
No,
I don't think that's what he says.
We should remain fan owned.
Correct.
That's what he says. So that's really important.
This is at the heart of what makes AFC Wimbledon special is the fact that we are fan owned, and that's what we should always remain, says John Green.
I know it's good. I mean, I guess the thing I'm going to say is it's not a budget problem. I just don't understand why everything is about budget. We talked about this before, that we have a reasonable budget for this league. And so we are currently underperforming in that budget. Now, did we buy the right players? Is the squad breadth, you know, width wide enough, etc.? That's a different thing. I don't think it's a budget problem. I think it's something external. We've lost a lot of games, sure. But it's not. But I don't think it relates to budget. And why everyone thinks a budget's going to solve it, you're not just going to randomly get some insanely expensive footballer to come and play for Wimbledon because you've got loads of money. It just doesn't work that way. They want to play for Manchester United, Liverpool, Arsenal, whatever. It's not a budget problem. It is a football problem in that sense that we need to resolve within our budget.
Yeah, I've just to add to that, Adam. God forbid that, lo and behold, who works really rock hard to get us to have a budget that is actually higher in terms of player wages than it was last season, you know, has actually given as much as we possibly can to the management team to try and work with it. You know, that, sorry, folks, was because we're fan-owned. And that was fan-owned decision-making to actually pull together a budget that is putting us into a competitive place compared to last season. That is like a real achievement. So it's not like the people behind the scenes are doing badly and we're making loads of potential changes, loads of stuff that's happening. It's loads of good stuff that is developing. It just takes time. You can't just have the best MD or the best head of football walk in because those people are already in jobs, right? They've got to actually hand notice in. They've got to go through a process. They've got to go through all of that. And that's when they come in and that's when we see change. At the Don's Trust board, we identified that. We're aware of those issues. And there has been, that whole process is now, I'm using the word process, that whole process, brilliant process that is happening and we're doing it right. So there will be a lot of things happening at this club and it is things that are good, right? And that is what's really frustrating because obviously for a whole range of reasons, I can't go spouting out about saying who's doing this and what stage we're at because you couldn't say, right, we're talking to this person or we're talking to that person or whatever. So I'm going to shut up now and let Mark jump in before I go on. This is a rant. No, I shouldn't be. I've not got rant of the week. It's not me this week. It's somebody else.
No, rant of the week is not Niall, although we can all rant, generally speaking. And there's lots of people ranting on social media, which we can entirely understand because people need to sound off. And obviously, there's a lot of people frustrated. It's been a difficult time in the country, full stop. And obviously, it's been a difficult time being a football fan of AFC Wimbledon right now. I mean, last week's pod, we didn't even mention the fact that we were playing Northampton. Just 24 hours later, which is probably quite a good thing considering the players didn't seem to be particularly engaged in that game either. And since then, obviously, we've lost a couple of games. We scored one goal in the most route one way possible. But we also managed to lose a game in the most AFC Wimbledon way possible, going into the last 10 minutes level and still losing. What I was actually going to say was, you made some sensible points there, Niall. The issue, of course, is that we've got 4,400 season ticket holders. There aren't 4,400 people on social media or any type of exclamation place complaining, but there are enough of them being vociferous about it. And a lot of them feel that the club, rightly or wrongly, set out specific aims at the beginning of the season, publicly, saying we think the manager with the squad, with the budget, should be able to achieve a lot better than he's achieving right now. And so you've got, as far as I can see, and I'm not arguing for them or against them, but as far as I can see, you've got three groups. You've got group one, which is saying it's all completely crap, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater, start again, without giving us any suggestions as to what to do and how to do it. And group two are saying, you know what, we got this guy in and the squad's all right, and you've got experience of the likes of Gunter and the likes of Pierce and the likes of Brown, and you've got quality players like NYC and Paris, young and inexperienced but still quality, and you've got a proven goal scorer, but you can't pull out all that together, then that's the coach's fault, the manager's fault. So get the manager out in his ear. And then you've got the silent group. I won't call them the silent majority because we don't know how big it is. And maybe we're in that group as well, who want the best for the club, don't necessarily feel that changing the manager again after a relatively short period of time is going to do us any favours whatsoever. But equally, the stuff you talked about, the developments that are happening, we don't know about them. We don't hear about them. We appreciate why we can't hear about them just yet, but that doesn't make it any less frustrating. Because if we do have a head of football coming in, director of football, whatever the terminology will be, even if they're serving notice somewhere else, that is at least a sign to me as a fan that something is going on. There's a realization that the current management can't do all of it on their own and they need assistance. That was patently obvious last year with Robbo and his young assistants and coaches, and they didn't get their help, and look where it got us. And none of us want to go anywhere near the type of debacle we had last year.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, there's many brilliant points there. I think to pick up the first one, towards your last point, if these things are happening, if there is like an MD in place or a head of football coming in, and they've been identified as serving notice elsewhere, and I know there's some sort of, there's got to be confidential things or whatever going on, but I think just to say, just to reiterate to our wider membership that this is what's happening. And I think having a statement from the chair would be a good thing for him to come out and simply say, you know, we recognise that there are issues at the moment. I can assure you that we are doing this. I think would be great. The silence because I think there's a lot of members of the DTB, well, obviously Niall, who can say these things. But I think really we need something from the head, whether that's from Chris or from Mick or whatever it is. I think we need something there. And going back to the playing side of things, I think, you know, there are two options. Either you play the players you have in the best positions, you know, or you get the players in that play your style. I don't think JJ's got in the players that can play his style. And for the minute, playing out from the back is not working. I remember watching us play Crewe last year, and it was one of the games we actually won, of however many it was. And they were doing that, playing out from the back, and we pressed them and they kept giving the ball away. And I'm seeing us now do exactly the same. We can't play out from the back. It causes too much stress. Our keeper isn't used to it. Our centre-backs don't see how to do it. And what happens is they just knock the ball about between each other without going anywhere. At least when we went route one on Saturday, we scored a goal.
We love going route one when we score. Actually, we love going route one generally, but I'll get onto that a bit later on. What I was actually going to say is I'd agree with you in terms of a statement. I think it probably has to come from Mick Buckley. I think the problem is, because people, again, have been reposting over the weekend, the big statement thing that was made at the time with Robbo and with Zav Wiggins and with Chris has been used as a stick to beat the whole club and the whole club infrastructure with. And so, unfortunately, even if Chris was to come out now and say, we love you all, we're going to give you all £25,000 each, and we're going to sign Messi and Ronaldo to play up front and Alisson Becker to play in goal, then people would still say, yeah, but it's Chris Stewart saying it, you know, which is not fair on Chris, but unfortunately people are
I think that big statement that promised too much. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we need a statement that just says, we understand this thing. I just want to assure you that this is happening, that we are recruiting here, that this is going ahead. Just to say that, would be enough. Not to say, and I think the other thing we've done wrong, not to say we're going to be in the championship in 5 years, not to have things like that out there. Sorry, Adam.
No, I was trying. I was thinking, do we need a statement? Don't we need a statement? But I think you're right. In terms of like the structure, one of the things we've been concerned about for a little while is the structure of how we organise the football club. And so I think, yeah, a statement is talking about the fact that we're moving pieces towards stabilising some areas that we've last season felt were a concern, like the director of football, whatever you want to call that person. That would be great. But I also don't think that I kind of wonder what saying anything is going to do at this point. Like, okay, we lost a bunch of games. So there's a couple of things that we can't play out from the back. Definitely. That is really clear. It's so pedestrian. It's just ludicrous. And the other piece of the puzzle is that we know what the conference is like, right? And so the scariness of the conference in terms of it is so difficult, that league, to be in, to get out of, etc. Maybe that is overshadowing some of our concerns. We're not, you know, I don't think we've got any problems really in that sense. I think we are disappointed because we thought we'd have a much better start to the season. Thought we'd probably be in the playoff positions already at this point, etc. Clearly, we've had a massive slide. But I do think that spectre of the conference is probably tainting a lot of people's feelings because that is such a difficult league to be in. And maybe that's kind of having a bit of an impact on the way people are feeling. But I don't think we need a statement really necessarily. I think clubs, like we said at the beginning, clubs have bad runs. We've had a bit of a bad run, you know. Potentially the way that we're playing isn't working for the squad as is. We need to, you know, change some stuff up. In terms of the goal for the Route 1 goal, I mean, that was ridiculous, but well, I'll take a goal. But yeah, okay. Anyway, that's enough of that.
We've got the squad we've got, and we've got that until Christmas time, and we don't know how long NYC may be out for example. He's the latest injury. Obviously, Woodyard coming back would be an absolute bonus, but we can't bank on that. I think realistically, Jackson would have had an idea of who his first choice 11 is, and you would have thought that Woodyard would be in it. So again, he can justifiably say he hasn't played his first choice 11 yet. But then you take the squad you've got and say, okay, so how am I doing the best? Am I doing the best with the players I've got? No, I'm not. Are the players themselves doing great? Not necessarily. Again, very mixed messages, which I guess comes from an inexperienced manager. The build-up to the Carlisle game was, let's not blame anyone. And then immediately after the Carlisle game, he blamed people. So you can't have it both ways. That strikes me as a person under pressure. That happens in every walk of life. But obviously managers in the public eye, in professional football clubs, are very much in the firing line, in the spotlight. But it still strikes me as that he doesn't know what his favourite formation is. Maybe it is 3-5-2, but if he hasn't got the players to do it, it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense to carry on doing the same thing and expecting those players who are not comfortable with it to do that. He's brought Pell in, and Pell isn't a match fit yet, and the only way anyone can be match fit is by playing consistent games. He's also playing Paris and Marsh together, and we know Marsh is a solid defensive midfield player, and he's playing him further ahead than Paris. And I pointed out on Twitter, even before we kicked off against Carlisle, when I saw that lineup, that was only going to work if you actually give Paris the latitude to go and play and be a creative player in midfield. If you haven't got Pell in there to be able to box-to-box midfield and actually destroy people and get involved and win that second ball, then you're going to struggle in midfield. And lo and behold, that's exactly what we did. Most midfielders we've seen this season haven't been wonderful, creative and skillful, but they have won second balls. That's what we've got to do. If we don't do that, then we're not going to get anywhere, really. And you'd like to hope that the manager will see that, and you'd like to hope that the manager will utilize the players appropriately and give them that opportunity rather than chopping and changing. Say, you know what, the midfield that can achieve what we need to achieve is whoever it is. And we love Magoma, for example, in terms of how creative and ball playing he is. But if you're going to play him as a defensive midfield player, you've got to have people who create, or you just surround him with people who will kick the bejesus out of other people and allow him to actually play. At the moment, we're not doing either of those things, which means we're relying on a very defensive, very not defensive, very inexperienced player to be the fulcrum of the team. And funnily enough, in 10 league appearances, he's shown his frustration. He's already been sent off for what looks like foul and abusive language, because he's frustrated with himself, he's frustrated with the situation, and he's frustrated probably with more experienced players around him who are not necessarily achieving and backing him up the way that he needs to be backed up. And that's down to the manager. And I'm not calling for, you know, regime change, managerial change at all, but the manager's got to appreciate the qualities of the players he's got in his squad, forget who's not available to him, take who is available to him, and make the most out of those players.
You know, listen, guys, I've got a different feeling to you both, which is I'm all for, at the moment, get the ball as far away from our goal as possible. So if that means playing a long ball and getting huddling on the pitch and having maybe Davison and NYC or Assal off of him, I'm all for that. We've got a towering player. Why not utilise that? And just go right the way back. I genuinely think in times of crisis, if you say nothing, everything just explodes. People are allowed to say it. So whoever has to say it, whether it's Mick, whether it's Chris, you have to have some sort of hand on the tiller that goes, this is what we're doing. I'm not promising, don't promise anything, but just to say, I hear you, and this is what we're doing.
Right. Just adding to that, I mean, I think putting a statement out is, like, I mean, you know, personally, I'd like us to. Personally, that's me speaking personally. You know, and we've talked about that. So I think it's useful, because I think being transparent and being open with the fans, because we're a unique club, is something that we should be aspiring to do at all times. That's my personal opinion, and that's what I will always advocate for. In terms of what we're doing on the pitch, you know, I'm looking at 4 old school defenders who are used to playing in a 4-4-2, probably, and actually are not necessarily the most talented people on the ball. And I'm then looking at the likes of Jack Curry, Assal, who are like skillful fast people, and that'd be really good to have them. And I'm up with Matt. Let's get the ball out to the flanks. Let's get the ball, get it down to the fast people, and whack it into a 6'9" bloke. If he gets any scraps, causes any chaos, then you've actually got Davidson who can put the ball away, or you've got Sal who can put the ball away. Let's do that. And in the middle, you've got your bringing Harry Pell and Woodyard and Marsh. Like, Pell is a box-to-box player. You know, there is abilities. Paris, let's get Paris getting the ball out to the flanks, getting the ball out and creating that space behind the fullbacks. It is old school route one, but we're in league two, you know. We've got the talent to do that. That's my view. But then, do you know what? I'm a child of the 80s. I'm a Wimbledon fan of the 80s, early 80s. You know, I was brought up on that. I was brought up on lump the ball to the big bloke up front. If he doesn't score, then it will fall to the little bloke who'll put it in. Right. And that's kind of where I'm at. Football's a simple game.
I'm not saying we shouldn't play direct football. That isn't what I'm saying. But the fact that our only goal came from a pretty poor piece of direct football is a little bit disappointing. What I'm saying is we're not being creative at all. You know, we're playing out from the back in a really weird defensive way that is really dangerous. It's not creative football. You know, there are teams in this league that can do creative football. It's not about just lumping the ball up. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying we can do things. We've got some creative players, like we've said about Paris, etc., who are not being unlocked at all. It's ridiculous. Like, it's so pedestrian, the way that we're playing, and so slow. I just don't quite understand why we'd play that slow. We can be more direct. Doesn't necessarily mean lump it all the way up. But yeah, I'd definitely be up for taller players being at the front, for sure. But yeah, I know. I'm not saying we should go back to old school. I think there's other ways of playing, but I don't know what we're doing at the moment.
I'd be quite happy to go back to old school. The only snag I had with Niall's little ideas and suggestions there is I think he's playing a formation of about 4-6-2. And unless we're going to be allowed to play 13 players and everyone else gets 11, then that's not quite going to work. Anyway, look, there are loads of issues there. We'll come back to talking about the Donstoss selections in a little bit. But now I'm going to jump on and allow Mr. Matt Cooper to jump in with this week's rant of the week.
This is actual my poetry slot of the week, Mark. I'm not a ranter. I'm a muse. I'm a creative, you know. I'm holding my anger within, and within these words. Now we're in a period of stagnation like no other club across the nation, apart from Rochdale, who spent 7-8 years in League Two. What about Crewe? Their success has been few. And Swindon and Bradford were Premier Two. But no, six promotions and one relegation in 20 years isn't enough. And I can hear the rebukes and I can hear the rebuff. Let's say the club will be a success. Who's buying League Two? Who has that excess? Now, how much should we sell out to our mystery buyer? A million or two? You're thinking much higher. What would they do with the money they invest? What would they want for the money they invest? The players, the staff, the ground and the rest. Who will they turn to if things go wrong? If we go on a bad run, told not to sing that song. If they take away your access, your pies and your beer, change the kit colour and don't shed a tear. Will you form a committee and make a complaint? But who will listen to the demands that you make with restraint? Before you chase this wonderful bliss, just hope that your dreams don't turn to piss. Yes, it's not good to lose home or away, but this club is amazing and I want it to stay. With players we can meet after the game. If we sell up now, it won't be the same. In case you're thinking I want relegation, no, I don't, and I want a different formation. So come on, you Dons, let's turn it round for the supporters who shout and sing in our ground.
Bard of Plough Lane, Mr. Matt Cooper. Beautiful. Like that a lot. Yeah. Okay, let's switch up a little bit.
Post that. Post it, Maddie. Post it.
Yeah, post your, that one.
Send Matt's not on social media.
I'm not so in any Facebook groups.
It'll have to be there on Tool Mark. You'll have to do it, mate.
I'll have to do it for you. Okay. So here's a random thing. Let's talk about some football, some forthcoming football for a change. We've actually got a game tomorrow that, night. Tomorrow night from when we're recording this, we have a game against Crawley Town, I believe, in the Papa John's. Other pizza companies are available. Trophy. So this has been, in my opinion, justifiably decried as a tournament, a way to get backstreet Premier League B teams in there. And obviously we've been playing. We've got Aston Villa as one of the teams in our particular group that we managed to beat a few weeks ago. So understandably, a number of fans, and I'm one of them, are boycotting the games and refusing to go when you've got Premier League teams involved. The club, I know, have said that they will be donating, I believe, to the Dons local action group any specific profits that are being made from certain games in the trophy. And I believe the £10,000 is what you win if you win a game. So that's always useful finance. But it got me thinking, actually, with the issues we've got on the field, we talked about the formations, we talked about certain players who should be playing where. Is actually the pizza trophy a good idea? Is it giving us an opportunity to win a game, get some confidence in that regard? Hopefully we'll give this young kid, UCS Escalon's son, Will, I believe his name is, an opportunity to play, like the online goalkeeper, which frankly, given what's been going on with Nick recently, can't actually be a bad thing, if you ask me. And if he actually shows up well, then maybe we can keep him in, and actually that will give whatever formation we have at the back some confidence. And actually, I was also thinking, it's been flagged beforehand, about going back to the future. If we get our big guy, Kyle Hudlin, up front, maybe pair him in the first instance with big Q Bartley, Quain Bartley, the academy prospect. Then you've got two strong physical prospects up front. Allow Davison to actually have a rest, hopefully, for the evening, because we'll obviously need him for the league games. And actually, will that give us an opportunity, even in a relatively low-key game, of getting a bit of confidence back?
I am personally totally torn by this because principally, I think the Pizza Cup is something we should have absolutely nothing to do with because the idea of slowly turning the pyramid into something that is just the Premier League's little plaything. Remember, this is the same Premier League that their new deal for football was they'll give extra money to the Championship on the proviso that they all play. Was it 4 lone players or something like that in each team or something ridiculous like that? That was one of the things they were mooting, right? This is all about the Premier League. It's not about clubs like AFC Wimbledon. It's not anything to do with us. It's us being fodder for a not even overrated, a like out of date rubbish competition. That's what primarily it's about. Then I think about us as a club, and I think about the fact that, frankly, we need that 10 grand from a win. It means absolutely nothing to Aston Villa or whatever, right? It really doesn't. You know, and then you look about how the payments and organizations of it, all right, as hosting a club like that, you have to actually pay for that club to come down, all the rest of it. So you start losing money because it's a cup competition. So you're only actually making anything out of it if you win the game, really. All right. So it's just like, is it worth it? And then I do think about the confidence of our team. I do think of the ability of playing youngsters in it and whatever, and doing that. Maybe that's the right way to do. I find it really uncomfortable that we are allowing the Premier League to take the piss. And it's just the kind of culture about it. It's this, the football pyramid is falling apart, right? It's collapsing. And it's because we're not doing anything about it and we're not addressing it. And I find that really distasteful. And, you know, I'm proud to be an AFC Wimbledon fan. I'm proud for what we stand for, and I'm proud on what we believe in. And the Papa John's trophy is just the wrong thing. And to be frankly honest, I much prefer Pizza Express to Papa John's. And that's another key point. Do you know what I mean? Papa John's is just frankly a rubbish pizza as well. So that's another point. No one likes Papa John's.
No one's enjoying Papa John's. No.
I mean, like, even Domino's has got to be better than Papa John's, right? And I know how many calories are in. I might even go to Zizi's, but that's probably a bit too middle class. Can you imagine that? Or ask.
Well, I think it's an interesting one, because this is a debate that happens every year about Papa John's, and in actual fact, maybe it's something we put to the vote. We should put it to the DTB members and say, "Are you? Would you boycott this competition?" And list what the consequences would be if we did. But we should say, with the knowledge of what the consequences will be if we do it, would you be prepared to boycott it? Because if we make a stand, because I don't think anyone is talking. Look, and tomorrow, in actual fact, what will the attendance be? We're playing Crawley. What will the attendance be? 800.
Do you know? Yeah, we're having a debate about this on the DTV about what we think it will be. You know, and I'm kind of on that sort of level. I think and we're kind of going, because it's Crawley, they might actually take a few because it's not far away. But that's basically it. In terms of the consequences, I mean, one of the things is that we did vote for that it's the profits of games against the B teams, the under 21s, whatever, are split between DLAG and the foundation. Right. So that's the bit that I can see. You know, if you're going to go to that game, that's a commitment that we made and we voted through to go as a DT, as a Don's Trust. So that there is stuff that we have done on that. I think it's perfectly legitimate to put a range of options on what we do with the Papa John's, you know, and look at where we stand on it. Because, but I mean, you're going to have the finance people who have one view, and you're going to have the moral, the kind of ethical stance on another view. And it's a good debate for us to have as a club.
Yeah, I think so. And put it to the members. And also at this point, put it to season ticket holders as well, because people are moaning that they can't get a vote if they're not on it. But it's like, or at least to the DTB, at least to the DTB members, put it to the vote, put the arguments out, and let's see, and go with it. And we can actually, as a club, make a stand.
It's worthwhile you mentioning that on Don's Trust, right? Because on ownership of a club, right? If you're the owners of a club, whatever you are, you have a say in what decisions are made. Right, you're the one who makes the decision about whether we're in the Papa John's, you know, whether we buy a ground, whatever. You ultimately have to say, right? So there are no club that will ultimately at the moment have a say if you are not an owner, right? So the only way to have that decision is being an owner. We're in a situation where our ownership structure means that if you're a member of the Don's Trust, you get a say, but the Don's Trust are the owners of the club. Right. So it's not like anyone else outside that is an owner. And that's the same at every single other club that's out there. It just so happens that the people who have the ability to make a say in our club is far bigger pool of people than in loads of other clubs. And we should be really cherishing that. If it becomes one bloke that's making that decision, the main thing, you don't have a say. You have nothing, right? You really have. And they can sail to whoever they want. They can do whatever they want. It's no longer your club. You're there as a spectator. You're there as 20 quid on a seat that some rich bloke is taking. That's it. You know, you have nothing. And that's what I think people really forget if you start looking about the ownership structure of this club, because you can lose it all.
Quick Papa John's question for our South Coast representative, Mr. Proctor, down in Southampton. I believe our other team that we're playing in this little mini group is Portsmouth, and therefore, presumably, we've got an away game against Portsmouth at some point in the next month or so. Is that kind of tempting you to go down to Frank Park to see that type of B-team trophy game?
Well, the quick answer is no, because I think the cup is the wrong thing that we shouldn't be in here. But I've been to Fratton Park a number of times because I really enjoy going there. So in that sense, I'd love to go there again, but I wouldn't go for this trophy because I just don't think we should have these B teams from the Premier League, etc. So as much as, yeah, I think it's Monster Burgers and all those kind of things might be tempting me, I wouldn't go just because of the competition. In terms of like, okay, if we've got to play these games...
Adam, I'm going to have to stop you there for a moment, yeah? Are you saying there is a ground that has better food than Plough Lane?
Well,
I'm sorry, you're going to have to leave the pod. That's just not possible. That is just not possible. You know I'm a big champion of all the food behind the South Stand, right? And you are saying that there is a ground that might even be better than ours, in which case, Adam, you're almost up there. I'm going to have to call you not. You're like an enshriner.
I know. No,
well, I believe in the process, mate.
When I did eat meat burgers, the Monster Burgers at Fratton Park are worth it. So if anyone is going, it's definitely worth checking out the burgers because they are mega. But unfortunately, since going vegan, I can't eat any of the food that's there anyway. So our ground is still the best in that sense because we have much more choice and diversity. But in terms of like the thing to go back to Mark's question about the. If we've got to play these games, we definitely should try stuff out with the squad. Whatever money there is or isn't, losing up and down, whatever, is our only opportunity outside of the league to at least try some other things out. And I think we have to do that. If we're not doing it enough in training, doesn't sound like we are, we can at least do it in those games. And yeah, why not Crawley? That's not a massive game. Why not just take the opportunity to try some different things out? And yeah, I think that would be a good use of that annoying trophy.
Sensible
lump
point.
Lump it. Yay, lump it forward. Play the big blokes up front. I'm up with Matt.
Okay, a couple of quick things to finish off with. We will, and we have already discussed at some length relating to the Dons Trust overall, but the other thing that has come out in recent days and weeks, I believe it was in the Northampton programme as well, is actually the timeline. So, Niall, do you want to just give us a very quick overview of where we're at in terms of timelines of candidates that can stand, how many vacancies are there, and when the election actually will be in place?
Okay, so I'm not going to remember all this off the top of my head, but I'm going to try my best. There are five vacancies at the moment they're going for. We will definitely see some new faces on the board because I'm pretty well informed that I don't think everybody's going to be re-standing. So there will be new opportunities there. I believe that you have until the 30th of October to join the Dons Trust and get a vote. So that's where we are. And we're expecting people to start nominating, declaring their candidacy now. I'm aware of two people that have. I think it's Mike Hasty and Richard Shepherd, who I believe have said that they're going to stand. I'm not sure if any of the existing DTB members are announced that they're re-standing or not. So we'll wait and see on that one. Then the results themselves are normally announced at the AGM, which Mark has got the program in front of him. So he can probably tell you exactly that. He hasn't got the program in front of him. Okay, so that's basically where we are. For us on the wonderful Same Old Wombles podcast, I suppose we have obviously got the opportunity to ask if any of them want to actually come on and talk to us on what their views are and stuff like that, and see whether they actually believe in selling out to rich, horrible billionaires and having no future say in their club or not, which of course they can put their views forward and see if they think that we're better being like under the owners of, say, some bunch of Norwegians, and they're fine to say that and come forward and say, right, actually I did quite like the idea of Milton Keynes and I quite like roundabouts, and that's fine. If they want to come on and declare that as their interest, then you know, those are the sort of people we'd like to hear from on this podcast. So, you know, welcome. Do come on and have a nice say with us. And that's great. Meanwhile, I can
Adam's
see...
shaking his head now because he knows he's got to do a lot of editing again.
I'll shut up now.
People are accusing... probably people like me, of having PTSD when it comes to having an owner, you know. But actual fact, that I think my truth is that I actually like being fan-owned because I like being able to be, knowing that I, you know, you can actually contact, you can actually make an influence yourself in your club. And I've been able to talk to people and get some things done. And I think that's the thing. I can suggest here potentially that we can put the vote the Papa John's trophy. And I think we should. But you know, if we're another club, who else can have that sort of power? If you're not a fan-owned club, who else can have that sort of power? So I think that's important.
Sensible point. I have now finally found the information I was leafing through. Page 25 of the Northampton programme for those people who were good enough to buy one last week in the pouring rain. And so the information is opening of nominations for Donstrad's board the 8th of October. The close of the nominations is Saturday the 29th of October. The manifestos are sent out on Wednesday the 2nd of November. The ballots go out then on the 12th of November, giving everybody about three and a half weeks until Saturday the 3rd of December to actually submit their particular ballot on who's actually standing and which candidates they'd like to actually be elected to the board. And as Niall said, then obviously they will be announced at the actual AGM itself, which presumably therefore is going to be in December pre-Christmas. So...
I think that's great, Mark. And what I always like is when they do the interviews, for interviewing the candidates is a really good thing. And I'm hoping that the interviews are done by people who don't have a bias one way or another. So certainly we shouldn't do the interviews.
Quite possibly not.
I think we definitely should. We should get them on here and like talk about it, because every one of the podcasts has got a slightly different take on things, and it's just like, you know, if you wanted to be fair, then you've got to face that scrutiny from all different types of people. Obviously from a Don's Trust board perspective, those ones will be moments where I am not allowed to be involved in asking the questions at all, and that's perfectly fine, makes sense, but I think it would be good to have the kind of usual kind of Matt and Adam is a previous candidate, Mark, and then Alex, who's like was on the till very recently in the election steering group, would make very good people to be asking those questions. So I think it would be useful. And those people who are candidates or thinking about standing, and I think it'd be really good to get in touch with us and just see if you fancy it or not, you know, because, you know, we represent as, you know, we have our own views. We're all from a certain different bit. We are, like, as Mark always says at the start, from the original yellow and blue team way back in the day, for those who are old enough to remember it. So, you know, it's that's the stance you want to take, you know, the program that was there when we went through those struggles all those years ago.
Yeah, and people have reached out to me and asked me about stuff, and I'm, you know, I'm not the orator of all, fond of all wisdom and everything else, but I'm happy to listen to people, the different opinions either way, and obviously then vote on myself as an individual on the merits of things. But yeah, if anyone was interested, I don't know who's going to be doing the hustings, but I'd be more than happy to join in as part of that group as well if anyone needs assistance or an extra alternative voice. Anyway, gentlemen, we've rattled on for long enough today. We really appreciate your input and strong opinions as ever, which is what we're all about here on Same Old Wombles. So a little bit of levity to finish off with after a relatively sedate and sad period of time, obviously with Wimbledon and naturally in the country in terms of the period of mourning for Her Majesty. So, some numbers. Some quick numbers to throw around. I've actually got four, but there's only three of you on, so we'll just take three simple ones this week. Starting off, the number is 8. What is the question?
The amount of minutes that teams score against us after 45? I don't know. Really. Yeah. I have no idea.
Surely it was the number of our greatest ever player.
Well, Robbie Earl, yeah. Who needs the guns out? Absolutely not. Somebody said to me the other day, by the way, isn't Dennis Wise the greatest ever woman player? And couldn't understand why I laughed so loudly. He was a Chelsea fan, to be fair.
Yeah.
Any further advances? Oh, we lost Niall completely now. No? Okay. The answer is, in 55 games, including this weekend. Okay, so the number is 8 and nobody got the answer to it. The answer is, in 55 games since the beginning of last season, how many clean sheets have we kept? And the answer is 8. 8 in 55. 5 last season, in the whole of last season, and 3 this season so far.
I'm back now. What was the other question?
Does that include the Papa John's trophy?
Too late, Niall. Too late. We'll give you another question. Niall's back. Okay. So, question for Niall then. The answer is 10. What's the question?
10. The amount of players that we normally end with, the time when we most concede goals left in the game, the 10, the amount of people who really give a toss about the Papa John's trophy, 10.
All good answers. This is a general football one, not actually a specific AFC Wimbledon one.
Oh, general football one.
Yeah.
10, the amount of, let me think. 10, the amount of chairmen in the Premier League that have ever been to a game outside of the Premier League.
All good answers. 10. It's nobody else.
It's not the amount of Premier League size with American investors.
Well, that's a good answer.
I wish it was that low.
I think it's true.
Adam?
I was trying to work out some sort of silly answer about Gary Lineker and number 10, but it didn't. I can't figure it out. So I have no idea.
Okay, the answer, and this is how quickly this is happening. I went to check this on the BBC website this afternoon, and actually the BBC website is out of date even because two of these happened in the last 24 hours. The answer is there have been 10 managerial changes up to time of recording of this podcast this season. Because even literally over the weekend since the Saturday games, Colchester in League Two and Hartlepool in League Two have both sacked their managers. And also somebody else Cardiff City. Yeah.
Now, what's interesting on that is obviously that's Keith Curl, and that's a whole nother one. Oh, I'm Keith Curl, new manager of Hartlepool United. And I will be rare in the sense that having spoken to Keith Curl, I actually think he's a decent bloke, but don't ever tell anyone.
Judas. Okay, final one.
None of these people have made an approach for JJ, yeah? I'm not saying anything.
Just saying. Just hashtag make an approach.
I'm not. No.
Okay, this one's from Matt. Final question from Matt this evening. The answer is 234. And what is the question?
Oh, this is easy, Mark. I can't believe you're coming. Tomorrow's attendance. I don't know.
234. We have to have a guess on this. Is this an AFC Wimbledon related answer or is it?
Yes, it is. Unfortunately, we are the answer to this question.
Oh, I do know. 234 is the amount of points we've had since 2017. And we are bottom with the least amount of points at every club of the 92.
Booby prize for Niall Cooper for finally getting one of these questions right. AFC Wimbledon have the lowest number of points of all clubs in the Football League since the beginning of the 2017-2018 season, lower than Scunthorpe and Oldham, who are not even in the league anymore, and Morecambe, Burton, Walsall, and a bunch of other clubs. This was actually a stat pulled together by a Rochdale fan to make himself feel better. And he managed to find two clubs that have got less points than Rochdale in that time frame. And unfortunately, we're one of them.
How many points are we behind? How many points are we behind the sides above?
Oh, it's one point. 1 point behind Scunthorpe.
It's close.
Yeah. We're 234. They're 235. I think Rochdale 236 or 237.
You need to go on a winning streak now.
Yeah, that's it.
Be fine.
But Scunthorpe and Oldham can't even get any more right now because they're both out of the league and we're still,
Bolton. Bolton are like just above us. Below us, whoever is in that table.
We are top. Bombshell, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your erudite contributions this evening. We've been Same Old Wombles. This has been episode 5. You can find us on the usual places on Twitter, on sameoldwombles.com, on Spotify, and any other places that you love to find your weekly podcasts. We'll be back next week with a new episode. See you then. Take care.